tonight's topic is weapons in shul. So just to be clear, this is a halacha shiur. We're not really going to get into political views or gun control or anything of that nature. Just the halachas of whether one is allowed to bring a weapon into shul, what the sugi is about, where it comes from, where the issues come from, what the isser is, what the nature of the isser is, what the exceptions to the isser might be. And what got me interested in this topic is that unfortunately, a number of years ago, when there was that terrible pigua in Har Nof, in the shul, so it was said that the terrorists knew exactly what kind of shul they were going into, and they knew they were going into a Haredi shul, and therefore, likely, no one would be armed. No one would have a gun with them. Had they chosen a different kind of shul, so likely there would have been a chayal or someone that was carrying a weapon. So at the time, there was a lot of discussion. There still is now a lot of discussion, as we see just today's events, that you're not safe. We can't be guaranteed to be safe from terrorism anywhere. And at the time, there was a lot of discussion, particularly a shul is a target, because it's a place where Jewish people gather in large numbers and is a significant target. So the question is it advisable or is it permissible for people to have weapons in shul? Now, obviously, if it's judged to be an actual pikuach nefesh situation where it rises to the level that it's a reasonable enough chance of pikuach nefesh, and exactly how you define that is not pashut, meaning some would define it based on percentage of chance. Most would probably define it based on whether reasonable people would be concerned about such a thing. I think that's the way Mori V'Rabbi Rav Shechter generally defines these kinds of things, that if it's the kind of thing that a reasonable person would say, this is frightening, we need to do something about this, even if percentage-wise, if statistically, it's not a significant risk, then it would probably be considered some level of sakana. That's what we discussed once about going skydiving, right? They will tell you when before you go skydiving that you have a better chance of getting hurt crossing the street or driving in a car than going skydiving, statistically speaking. But the average person looks at crossing the street and getting in a car as a regular everyday activity that doesn't particularly frighten us. You look at jumping out of a plane and you say, that's crazy. That is dangerous. So it would probably sakana is likely defined based on what reasonable people are concerned about, but let's say absent a definitive sakana, is it permissible to carry guns? Now, we're not going to talk about to carry guns in shul or other weapons in shul. Now, we're not going to talk about the Hilchos Shabbos issue. There is a Hilchos Shabbos issue over here as well, specifically two Hilchos Shabbos issues, the issue of muktzah and the issue of carrying in general. Let's say there's no Erev. Is one allowed to carry a gun? Is there anything that one can do to be permitted to carry a gun? We're not going to get into those issues. The muktzah issue, you know, there are some poskim that say, what do you mean muktzah? It's a klisha melachto laheter. It's not even a klisha melachto leiser, because the only time you would ever use it is if there's an actual sakana. And in a situation of sakana, it's mutter to use it. So it would be a klisha melachto laheter. It's like a fork and a knife. It would, of course, it's totally mutter to be metaltal such a thing. More likely, it's a klisha melachto leiser, because the act of firing a gun involves an iser Shabbos in general, even though typically you wouldn't do it unless it was pikuach nefesh. But the act of firing a gun involves an iser, involves a malacha, so it's probably a klisha melachto leiser. But even that is mutzal letzorach gufo letzorach makomo. So that's not our topic tonight. Our topic is just the on a Tuesday night. Let's say if someone here brought a gun with them on a Tuesday night, would there be any issue with that? So we're going to discuss the sugya, or I guess the earliest source where we find that there might be an issue with bringing a knife or a weapon into shul. What the issue is this a din in Hilchos Tefillah? Is it a din in Hilchos Beis HaKnesses? Is there a nafkamina whether it's a din in Hilchos Tefillah or a din in Hilchos Beis HaKnesses? There are some obvious nafkaminas. And what the exceptions to the potential isser are. So that's how I gave you, this is a very rough draft. This has been totally unedited. This is mamish the first time through that I wrote it. So you will find 1,000 typos and the language is terrible because my editor hasn't gone through any of this yet. So this is the number one thing people, the feedback I got for the Sefer from people who actually read it was the Hebrew was so beautiful, so easy to read. That has nothing to do with me. That's I have an Israeli editor. So the we'll start with right under the heading Makara Din V'Yesh Cholkim El Din Zeh, the quote from the Beis Yosef, citation from the Beis Yosef in Archaim Simon Kufnun Aleph. So let's take a look at this Beis Yosef. Kasuv ba'orchos chayim. The Sefer Orchos Chaim writes b'shem Haram, the Tashbitz Katan, she'asu likanes lebeis haknesses b'sakin oruch. One is not allowed to enter a shul with a long knife, lefishat fila ma'areches yamav shel adam. Because it's incompatible. Tefillah is supposed to make a person's life longer. A knife makes a person's life shorter. It's mekatzer a person's life. So they're incompatible, and therefore we don't bring a sakin aruch, a long knife, into shul. The Beis Yosef goes on to write, V'yigia lov Rabbeinu Peretz. Rabbeinu Peretz was not happy with this. Miu ein lachash, about, not about this, about the dot, the in-between. Miu ein lachash ki im begilui harosh. He's only concerned about this if your head is uncovered. Head is uncovered. What does that have to do with anything? Head is uncovered. That's okay. It's also din in Beis HaKnesses. You shouldn't come into a Beis HaKnesses with your head uncovered. Okay, but with the connection between that and carrying a weapon, a little bit difficult to understand. From Kasuv, Misha Rosh Magula Lo Yotzi Askar Mipiv. And Masech Sof from it says, if your head is uncovered, you shouldn't say the Shem Hashem. What exactly is going on over here? What is the connection between the two? What apparently seems to be is the Beis Yosef seems to understand that you can't bring a weapon into shul because it shortens a person's life. And Rabbeinu Peretz disagrees. And he says, no, weapons aren't a problem. Uncovered heads are a problem. Totally different issue. Weapons are not an issue at all. The only issue with a covered Beis HaKnesses that you're worried about is don't come in with your head uncovered. And in fact, if you look in Shulchan Aruch, in Simon Kufnun Aleph, Sivav, Shulchan Aruch writes, V'yesh osrim likanes bo besakin aruch o barosh megula. Now, if it was a halacha that nobody argued about, and, you know, again, what happened? Beis Yosef quoted Orchos Chaim not to go in with a gun. Then you quoted Rabbeinu Peretz not to go in with your head uncovered. So if that's a machlokes, and the Rabbeinu Peretz is not worried about coming in with a sakin aruch, then it's then there are two deals. But if it's not a machlokes, they're just talking about two different things. Where the Orchos Chaim says no weapons, and the Rabbeinu Peretz says true, but also no gilei arosh. So then there's no machlokes. Everyone would agree that there's no weapons. But what's the lashon of the Shulchan Aruch? V'yesh osrim likanes bo besakin aruch obarosh megula. Some say it's aser to come in with a sakin aruch or with a rosh megula. So from the fact that he says it as a yesh osrim, it sounds like it is in fact a machlokes, and the mechaber is just machmir for both shitos. What's aser? Is it rosh megula or is it sakin aruch? Machlokes says Beis Yosef, we should be makpid about both, and that's how Rav Vadi Yosef and Yechavadas understands the mechaber, that the mechaber understood that this was a machlokes and he's machmir for both shitos. However, Rav Waldenberg in Tzitz Eliezer in Chelik Yud Simin Yud Ches says that no, just because he uses the word yesh osrim doesn't mean that it's a machlokes. Meaning, normally when you have in the mechaber, he says yesh omrim this and yesh omrim that, so that's clearly a machlokes. When he's at most halachas, he'll just say straight, this is the halacha, so that might not be a machlokes. It may just be a straight halacha psuka. But when he says yesh osrim without recording any second opinion that disagrees, it very likely, says the Tzitz Eliezer, just means that most poskim never spoke about it. It just wasn't raised by the Rambam and the Rashba and the, you know, all the classic Rishonim. Who spoke about it? The Orchos Chaim spoke about it. So what? You're just going to say it as a straight, you know, Pashra Halacha, if it was, you found it in one obscure Rishon? No, so he thinks it's correct, La Halacha, but he quotes it as a Yesh Osrim because it's only one Rishon that actually is on record as having spoken about that. That is the Tzitz Eliezer's understanding of the Mechaber, that it's no Machlokas at all, and Yesh Osrim is just because it only happens to be one Rishon that even raises the issue. How do I know this, says Tzitz Eliezer, that that's the style of the Mechaber, that he'll say a Yesh Omrim or a Yesh Osrim, or a Yesh Matirim, if there's only, even if there's no Machlokas, he says, because the Sma writes this way in Chosh Mishpat Simen Tez Zayin, Sivkat and Ches. The Sma quotes two Deos, when when does the Mechaber say Yesh Omrim? The first day is that he quotes it by anything that is only brought down in one of the Sifrei Rishonim, and no one argues with it, he'll quote it as a Yesh Omrim. But then he quotes a second daya, and that seems to be the daya the Sma agrees to more, that any time he finds the first daya was that he brings that lashon by any din that the mechaber found in one rishon, and the mechaber thinks yesh lefakpik bedvarav, that there's some issue to take with it. Maybe he's not ready to accept it, and as a way of showing that he's not ready to accept it, even though he hasn't found anyone else who argues on it, or anyone else who agrees for that matter, but just as a way of showing that he's not ready to accept it, he'll say yesh osrim, so, or yesh omrim. But the second day in the Sman is what the Tzitz Eliezer was referring to, is that no, it's just something that if it hasn't been mentioned by other poskim, that alone is enough. Even if the Mechaber agrees to it, there's nothing to disagree about. It just hasn't been mentioned by any other Rishon other than the one that the Mechaber found. So he'll quote it as a Yesh Omrim. That's what the Sma writes. The Pischei Tshuva over there just points out that that there's no difference between Yesh Misha Omer or V'Yesh Misha Omer. You know, all these different mildly different lashonos, these nuances of different lashonos. And he says, and it's also, it's not only if it's one poskim, even if it's two or three poskim, but it's not quoted in the vast majority of Rishonim. So even then, he might quote it as a Yesh Misha Omer. He says, however, says the Pischei Tshuva, that you find a lot of places where the Mechaber says Yesh Misha Omer when it's a Machlokas. But that's only if there's a known machlokas. In this situation, we have no known machlokas. There's nothing clear over here telling us that it's a machlokas. So again, what happened over here? The Beis Yosef quoted an Orchos Chaim, not to bring a second Aruch into Shul. Then he says, but Rabbeinu Peretz says, don't go with your head exposed in Shul. Rav Vadi Yosef understands that the Beis Yosef understands that as a machlokas. Is the issue about Sakin Aruch, or is the issue about exposed head? And that's why the Mechaber is just machmir for both shitos. But it's really a machlokas, and there are some that'll... Why is it important to know whether it's machlokas or not? If it ever comes that we need another sniff lahakel. So if you hold that the whole din is a machlokas, so then you have another sniff lahakel. If you need to be makel in a certain situation, you'll say, well, there are some rishonim that hold this whole din doesn't exist. But if you hold that there's no machlokas, like the Tzitz Eliezer understands the Mechaber, that there's no machlokas, he just quotes it as the Yesh Omrim, because only one person speaks about it explicitly, then you have no sniff lahakel over here. You can't say, oh, but there's some Rishon that doesn't hold of it at all. So the machlokas, however, is limit. This machlokas between Rav Avadi Yosef and the Tzitz Eliezer about how to understand the Mechaber is limited in its importance, because it's just about whether you have a sniff lahakel. But as far as halacha is concerned, they both agree that the Mechaber quotes this din. Whether he quotes this din because he thinks it's a machlokas, or he quotes this din because he thinks there's no machlokas, but he definitely quotes this din that you're not allowed to bring a sakin aruch into shul. Many achronim have a girsa, however, that in Rabbeinu Peretz it says ein lachush ki im begilui, and he leaves out the word harosh, meaning it seems so incongruous. Besides, don't bring a gun into shul. And then Rabbeinu Peretz says, no, only worry about gilui harosh. Who's talking about yarmulkes? We're talking about guns. So some have girsa from Rabbeinu Peretz that ein lachush ki im begilui without the word harosh. Well, that changes everything now. Meaning you can't bring a gun into shul. Oh, and it's only a problem if it's begilui. What's begilui? Not your head, the gun. It's only a problem if you have you're walking with your AK-47 and everyone could see that the gun is exposed, but you have it hidden nicely away in your ankle holster or whatever. I don't know where people keep their gun, in their back, whatever, wherever you keep it. So then it won't be a problem. It doesn't seem that way, because I don't think we ever refer to it anywhere as the Rosh Hasakin. I don't think that's a typical expression that we find. And also, certainly it's not the way the Mechaber understood it, because he just quotes this din of Gilei HaRosh. Of actually exposing the head. So L'chora, the Lashon in the Mechaber sounds a little more like Rav Avadya Yosef, because he says, after he quotes the din of Sakan Aruch, he says, O Barosh Megula, meaning that there's an Isser to go into a Beis HaKnesses with Rosh Megula, and that's obviously a quote from the Rabbeinu Peretz, which he quoted in the Beis Yosef. And it has nothing to do with not being motzi askarim piv brosh megula, because that has nothing to do with Beis HaKnesses at all. In general, you're not allowed to say a bracha or a shem Hashem with a rosh megula. So clearly, the Mechaber understands that Rabbeinu Peretz is not about gilui asakin; it's about gilui arosh, and that's why the Mechaber quotes this din about gilui arosh. Okay, but at the end of the day, there's nothing l'kuli alma. There is no mefurisha heter in Shulchan Aruch. Shulchan Aruch says yesh osrim and doesn't quote anyone who disagrees, and therefore a sakan aruch should not be brought into a Beis HaKnesses if there's no good reason for it. We'll see if there are exceptions, but as a default position, it should not be brought into a Beis HaKnesses. It would seem that there is a machlokas whether a covered sakin would be okay, and that's obviously very nogeya lemaisa. According to Rav Avadya Yosef, that heter does not appear anywhere in the Beis Yosef. Rav Avadya Yosef has that original girsa gilei arosh, but according to the Tzitz Eliezer, that heter does appear in the Beis Yosef, because the girsa was ki im begiloi, but nothing about gilei harosh. It's interesting that the Beis Yosef couldn't find a single Gemara that spoke about this. There was no Gemara anywhere in Shas that mentions anything about a weapon in a shul or a Beis Medrash or something. So the reason this topic came up recently, and the reason we're giving a share in it tonight, is recently in the Daf Yomi, the Gemara had an Agadita in Sanhedrin Pei Beis, before we got into Chelek with all the Agaditas. In Sanhedrin Pei Beis, there was a Gemara that discussed Zimri and Kazbi and what Pinchas did. And the Gemara says that when the Pasuk says, Vayaka mitocha eda v'yikach romach biyado, says the Gemara in Sanhedrin Pei Beis, Mikan she'ein nechnasim b'klei zayin l'beis ha-medrash. From here you see, you're not allowed to go into the Beis Medrash with klei zayin, with weapons. Rashi says, how do you see that from the Pasuk? Because they were talking about this din of Kanaim Pogumbo. They were having a halachic discussion, and it says, Vayaka mitocha eda. He got up mitocha eda from the group of the Talmidei Chacham of the Sanhedrin. Vayikach romach biyado, and then he took a romach, because he didn't have it with him already. Why didn't he have it with him already? Because he's not allowed to. He's in the Beis Medrash. He couldn't have had a romach yet. He could not have had anything in his hand. In the Beis Medrash, there can't be that there was any weapon. So that's why Pinchas didn't have anything when he was sitting with the Sanhedrin in the Beis Medrash. So l'chora, it's a mefurish makar and shas that you're not allowed to have a weapon in a Beis HaMedrash. So in fact, in Shibolei Aleket, he writes, the reason that Rabbi Yochanan, according to the Gemara in Moed Katan, was notal tziporno of Beis HaMedrash on Chol HaMoed with his teeth. The Gemara says that he cut his fingernails with his teeth on Chol HaMoed. He says it's not because you're not allowed to cut your fingernail with a nail clipper on Chol HaMoed, not the way most poskim understand it, right? That why else would he bite his fingernails as opposed to using a nail clipper? No, not because it's us to use a nail clipper on Chol HaMoed, but because he was in the Beis Medrash. So in the Beis Medrash, how could he can't find a sakin, can't have a knife, can't have a sharp instrument in the Beis Medrash. So that's the where he gets. So you have all these Gemaras that like sort of maybe. So but this Gemara in Sanhedrin is pretty explicit. It says pretty explicitly, Mikan she'ein nechlasim b'klei zayin lebeis ha-medrash. What is Beis Yosef mimercha k'tavi lachma? What's he bringing from the Orchus Chaim? You have a beferish of Gemara. So who asks this? Kasha the Maritz Chayis in the back of the Gemara asks this Kasha, which is also fascinating, that it took till the Maritz Chayis to ask this Kasha. He says, I don't understand. Madua limua poskim Gemara zu. Why did the poskim all hide their eyes from this Gemara? Which is clear that even a Beis Medrash, which has lesser kedusha than Beis HaKnesses, you're not allowed to bring a knife. Kal v'chomer, a Beis HaKnesses, which has greater kedusha, obviously you're not allowed to bring a knife. Now, the l'chora, even though the Maritz Chayis only asked the kasha on the Beis Yosef and the Orchus Chaim, why didn't they bring this Gemara? He should have asked even better on the Rabbeinu Peretz. Rabbeinu Peretz, according to Rav Avadya Yosef, disagrees with the Orchus Chaim. and thinks you're allowed to bring one. So it's one kasha to say, you know, come on, what you're telling me is obvious. It's a much stronger kasha when you say, what you're telling me is wrong. I mean, how could Rabbeinu Peretz say that it's takum mutter, that the only issue is gilei arosh? There's no issue of a sakin. So the kasha would have been even much stronger on the Rabbeinu Peretz. L'chora. One could distinguish that maybe a romach, that the Gemara was talking about a spear, which its entire purpose is as a killing instrument, as opposed to a knife, which could be used to cut food and steak and other things as well. And maybe that's what the Orchos Chaim is trying to be mechadesh. Yeah, of course you're not allowed to bring a gun into a shul. That's meant as a killing instrument. Now, even a knife, even a steak knife. The Orchos Chaim is mechadesh, not allowed to bring into shul. But still, the Beis Yosef should have mentioned that there's somewhere that you're not allowed to bring killing instruments into shul. Doesn't say that anywhere. And that's a Gemara. That he should have mentioned. So the Kasha of the Maritz Chai is his strong Kasha. The way he phrases the kasha is not so easy to understand, though. What's Maritz Chayes' kasha? That the Gemara says you're not allowed to bring a weapon into a base medrash. If even a base medrash, which has such a low level of kedusha, kal v'chomer, a shul, which has a higher level of kedusha, that's not true. Meaning the halacha is just the opposite. A base medrash has a higher level of kedusha than a base knesset. It's a sugya megillah daf chav zayin. That you're allowed to make a base haknesses into a base medrash, but a base medrash you're not allowed to turn into a base knesses, because kedusha's base medrash is greater than kedusha's base haknesses. Malim b'kodesh v'lo maridin. So why the Maritz Chayes worked with the assumption that it would be a kal v'chomer, that if you're not even allowed to bring into a base medrash, for sure you're not allowed to bring into shul, is a little bit difficult to understand. It's halacha p'suk in Shulchan Aruch that you could turn a base knesses into a base medrash, but not vice versa. So the Chora, maybe that's why the Orchos Chaim said it like this. The Orchos Chaim is mechadesh that even a base knesses, which is a lower level of kedusha, you're not allowed to bring a weapon. Yeah, base medrash we know. Base medrash we know from the Gemara, you're not allowed to bring a weapon. But even a base knesses. But still.
Maybe it's not a kedusha, but the svar of makatzer, tefillah is meant to be marach.
So that was my next thought. That maybe it's not about Kedusha, and therefore the whole Kal Chomer doesn't matter. It's all about Marech and Mekatzer. That was the whole idea. So if in a Beis Knesset, say Tefillah is Marech and the knife is Mekatzer, well, what about what's done in the Beis Medrash? Do we have any Mokar that's also Marech? Would you have a similar Svar? And if you do, then the Maritz Chayes is Kasha, still a Kasha. So we do find that Torah is also Ma'arech. Torah and Tefillah are both Amarich and Yamav Shal Adam. That's what the Aruch HaShulchan Kuf Nun Aleph says, don't go into a Beis Knesset or a Beis Medrash with a Sakin Aruch, because they're both Maruch Shanav Shal Adam. Where do we find that's the case, that it in fact is Maruch Yamav Shal Adam, that Torah itself is Maruch Yamav Shal Adam? So we do find in a couple of places. Trying to find where I wrote this, but there's a Gemara there's a Gemara in Brachos, I think, that says like this, that it's Marach Yom HaShaladam. I'm not sure why I'm not finding it right now. We'll get to it, I guess, later, wherever I have it here. We'll get to it later. But before we get to that, what was I going to say? Yeah, this Maritz Chayes that it's a kal v'chomer. So we said, okay, so it's not a kal v'chomer. Maybe that's why the Orchos Chaim mentions it. Dafka be'ilchos beis haknesses, then even ilchos beis haknesses. But still, the way things normally work in Beis Yosef and Shulchan Aruch is if there's a halacha psuka, what is it?
Four.
Oh, it's on page four?
Yeah.
So if there's a... We'll get there. So if there's a halacha psuka, if there's a halacha psuka in the Gemara, the Beis Yosef quotes it, and he quotes the Gemara that it comes from, and then it makes it onto the page in Shulchan Aruch. That's normally the way it works. He's not going to ignore a halacha psuka in the Gemara, quote an obscure Orchos Chaim that says one step further without even quoting the Gemara that it's all based on. It's unusual. The Maritz Chayes' kasha is a kasha whether he has a kal v'chomer or he doesn't have a kal v'chomer. So even if we don't have a kal v'chomer, his kasha is a kasha. Why would the Beis Yosef, why would all the poskim leave it out? Now, the very idea that you can't go into Beis Medrash with a weapon, it sounds from a number of places in Shas that there were weapons around Batei Medrash, for whatever reason. The Gemara in Shabbos Taf Yud Zayin, when it talks about the Yud Ches Davar, the 18 gezeros that they made, when you know the Gemara says that one day they were looking around the Beis Medrash, and they saw an unusually high percentage of Talmidei Beis Shammai in the Beis Medrash. Normally there were more Talmidei Beis Hillel than Talmidei Beis Shammai, so the Talmidei Beis Hillel won every vote. But they looked around one day and they saw, whoa, lots of Talmidei Beis Shammai, not so many Talmidei Beis Hillel. They closed the doors, locked the doors, we're voting. 18 votes right now. And Talmidei Beis Shammai won 18 votes in a row. So they rigged the system to have the Yud Ches Davar. So in that sugya, the Gemara says, what does it mean? Na'atzu cherev b'Beis HaMedrash. They put a sword down in the Beis Medrash. Amru, hanichnas yichnas vayotze al yetze. No one's allowed to leave. Ve'osa yom ha'yahil kaf of Yoshev b'nei Shammai kechon min ha'talmidim. And he'll have to sit in front of Shammai like a Talmud b'fnei Rabbo. Ve'yakosh li Yisrael kiyom shenasa bo ha'egel. And it was as bad a day for the Jewish people as the day of the Egel. But you see that they had a sword in the Beis Medrash. So apparently, you're allowed to have a sword in the Beis Medrash. Not only that, the Gemara in Yevamos Daf Ayin Zayin says that Amasa ben Yisra Yisraeli chagar charbo ki Yishmael. He girded his sword like a ki Yishmael va'amar. Kol mi she'enu shamea halacha zu yidokar b'cherev. Very demonstrative. Someone who doesn't listen to this halacha will be stabbed by the sword. Kach mukublanim vezdino shel Shmuel Aramasi, Amoni v'lo Amonis, Moavi v'lo Moavis. He said over this halacha of Amoni v'lo Amonis, Moavi v'lo Moavis, and therefore the Yichus of David HaMelech is good. But again, there was a cherev in the Beis HaMedrash. You have also Sanhedrin Sadi Dalib, Chizkiyahu HaMelech, also Na'atz cherev al Pesach Beis HaMedrash. Kol mi she'ein osik b'Torah, yidakar b'cherev zu. Although that's not as strong of a raya, that was al Pesach Beis HaMedrash. That wasn't in the Beis Medrash itself. So in the Tshuvas Chemdas Tzvi, he says the reason you're not allowed to come in with a sword to the Beis Medrash is not because it's Mekatzer Shnosu Shel Adam. He says it's a different halacha. That's why the Mechaber doesn't quote it. It's a totally different halacha. The reason is not because Torah's Ma'arich and the knife is Mekatzer and it's incongruous. No. The concern is that instead of halachic debate, you'll have physical threats, meaning you'll be having a machlokas between two rabbanim will be arguing, two talmidim will be arguing. You know, is mutter to do this on Shabbos? Tonight, can you use post-it notes on Shabbos? Can you not use post-it notes on Shabbos? That came to mind. I think because when I was in Los Angeles, the rabbi told me that Rav Yonatan Sachs made his daughter's shidduch. I said, okay. He said, yeah. The story was that his Rav Yonatan Sachs was in town. His daughter asked him when she was just back from seminary, Abba, are you allowed to use post-it notes on Shabbos? He said, I don't know, ask Rav Yonatan Sachs. And he had a conversation with her, he was impressed by her, and he made a shidduch with one of his talmidim. So he made a shidduch. So the post-it notes made the shidduch. So are you allowed to use post-it? He didn't tell me what the answer was. But are you allowed to use post-it notes on Shabbos? So two people are having a machlokas about this. Finally one says, okay, we'll settle it. Then he takes out a gun and he says, okay, fine, you're not allowed to use post-it notes, fine. So that's not a way to solve a halachic issue. And that's what the Chemda Svi says, that's what the objection of having in a Beis HaMedrash. You don't have any such concerns in a Beis HaKnesses. Beis HaKnesses, you need the Archos Chaim, where it's a separate din. He says, that's why, when the Gemara said that they took out a cherev when the Talmidei Beis Shammai were there, it was Kashal Yisrael, Kiyom Shanasa Boa Egel. Because look how they were deciding halachos. They were threatening people that no one's allowed to leave and that we have to take a vote. That's not the way that halachos should be decided. And that's why the Gemara says, Shechiber Chiger Charbo Ki Yishmael. What kind of a way is that to describe someone who's darshaning halacha? Kach mekublanim mi beizdino shel Shmuel Aramasi. You're going to say that he takes his sword like a Yishmael? Why would you describe him as a Yishmael? Because that's not the way halacha is supposed to work. It's not supposed to work with threats and with violence and with swords and whatever. So maybe that's a separate din by a Beis HaMedrash and not by a Beis HaKnesses. And then you understand very well why this Orchos Chaim has nothing to do with that Gemara in Sanhedrin. The Gemara in Sanhedrin is about a Beis HaMedrash that's one din, about how halacha is decided. This is a Beis HaKnesses, about a Mekatzer and a Ma'arich being a totally different din.
Isn't there a Gemara somewhere about where the Kohanim in the Beis HaMikdash were, like, why you shouldn't have a knife on the table when you bend?
Yeah. So the Gemara says that the Kohanim, the Gemara in Yuma, I think, says that, now, there were plenty of knives around the Beis HaMikdash, right? They had to shech. But the Gemara says that they were racing up right to Mizbeach to do the avoda, and one of them took out a knife and stabbed the other one. And then the father of the one who was stabbed said, "Quick, get him out! He's going to be metame the Beis Hamikdash. He's almost dead, and it's going to cause tumah. We need to get the tumah out." And they realized, you know, like things have gotten out of control.
That's not related.
Yeah. So luchara is not related because in the Beis Hamikdash they had to have meaning, right? So although we'll see, you know what? We'll see right now. Actually, the idea that you can't have a mekatzer next to a marich. You can't juxtapose that which shortens life with that which lengthens life comes up in a number of places. First of all, in the Mishnah Maseches Midos, Mishnah says that we're not allowed to be Meinif Barzel on the Mizbeach. No Barzel in the making of the Mizbeach. Why? Sha Barzel Nivra Lekatzer Yamav Shel Adam VaMizbeach Nivra LaHarich Yamav Shel Adam. Say Eino Bedin Sheyunaf HaMekatzer Al HaMarich. You can't have that which is Mekatzer on that which is Ma'arich. And that's it's a medrash as well, that a mizbeach is made to be marach shnosu shalad and bazer and makatzer, so you shouldn't do it. Another place where we find it, Mishnah Berurah and Simin Yud Aleph, Sivkat and Samach Aleph writes that if a person needs to cut tzitzis strings, so to cut his tzitzis strings, he should do it with his teeth and not with a knife. And the Machzah Shekel explains, because lo sanuf aleihem Barzel. Tzitzis is also an inyan of arichus yamim. Why? Martin Shabbos Lam Beis tells us, ba'avon tzitzis, mesim badav shaladim, k'shem ketanim. So apparently, failure in tzitzis causes being mekatzer yam of shaladim. So they were dafka makbid not to use a knife. Why dafka the teeth? So the reason they would dafka use the teeth is because 32 teeth is the assumption, and that's the number of strings there are in the tzitzis. So 32 strings, because 4, 8 on each of four corners. The Kaf Chaim says also there's a school of tzitzis that if a person fulfills the mitzvah of tzitzis, he'll have good teeth. He won't have problems, dental problems. I could tell you that I'm machmir with tcheles, with talis thick strings, with alachumras that you can possibly imagine, and my dentist could tell you that I have plenty of problems. So I don't know. Maybe it would have been worse. It would have been worse. Every time we travel, my wife gets up. Every time I go through that thing, that machine, that somehow my tzitzis are so big and thick that it comes up. They have to frisk me every single time. You have something over there. They're frisking. So if we're ever in a rush, it's like, so on the way back, we were worried that we were running late. So just take off your tzitzis. Take off your tzitzis before we go. So I didn't. I thought it went right through. Okay, so I need thinner string tzitzis for future travels, I think. The Beis Yosef writes, another place where we have this, Beis Yosef writes in Simun Kuf Bey, and this is, I think, what David was referring to. Kasav Arokeach B'Simun Shin Lamed Beis, Mechasin Sakin B'Shas Birchas HaMazon, Al Shem Lo Sanef Aleim Barzel, that we cover the knife by Birchas HaMazon, and B'Mechilta Eino Din Shiyonef HaMekatzer Al Amarech V'Shulchan Kimizbeach. Shulchan is like the Mizbeach, so the Shulchan, which is the Mizbeach, is Marich, so we take away the Sakin. And he quotes that the Abadram writes that way, Shibali Aleket writes that way, and then he says, interestingly, another reason. He says, because of Odbi Shibali Aleket, mi piachove Rabbi Simcha Shamati Tam Acher. Another reason why we cover the knife by benching. He says, a guy was in the middle of benching, and when he got to the bracha of Bani Yerushalayim and he remembered the Churban Abayis, it was a chiddush that when they used to bench, they used to pay attention to the words. So he got to Bani Yerushalayim and he remembered Churban Abayis. So Laka Chasak, and he took the knife, Vitako Bibitno, and he stabbed himself. So he said, you know what? Maybe there shouldn't be any knives around when people are talking about the Churban. It's a little too depressing. So the Bali Musa talk about this. My Chavrusa Rabbi Razman loves this line in the Beis. He always loves to, you know, that what, because one Meshuggah, one stabbed himself. I mean, I don't think we're at high risk of this repeating itself. No, but maybe the point is that Bali Musa pointed out that we should remember that there was once a Jew who used to get so upset about Churban Abayis. And what do we don't even pay attention to the words, but there was once a Jew who used to get so upset. According to Rabbeinu Simcha, he said there's no chiluk between Shabbos and a weekday, but the minig is that we don't cover it on that we only cover on Shabbos and minig shel Yisrael Torah. But why? It's interesting. That's what the Beis Yosef says. Why is it only according to Rabbeinu Simcha that there's no chiluk between Shabbos and a weekday? If it's about shulchan domel l'mizbeach, what? Only shulchan on Shabbos is domel l'mizbeach. Shulchan on weekday is not domel l'mizbeach. So there are a couple of answers. Magen Avram writes, that Magen Avraham writes that there's no binyan mizbeach b'Shabbos, so you can't say shulchan dom l'mizbeach b'Shabbos. I mean, it's the other way, that it's only on a weekday that you'd have this din, not on Shabbos, because there's no binyan mizbeach b'Shabbos. The Taz says that the Beis Yosef never meant to say that only Rabbeinu Simcha would not be mechalek, but rather that even Rabbeinu Simcha would not be mechalek between Shabbos and a weekday. Certainly the Abu Dram, you wouldn't be mechalek between Shabbos and a weekday. And the reason he says even Rabbeinu Simcha and Kolshke, and the other reason, is because according to Rabbeinu Simcha, you could say that on Shabbos and Yom Tov, a person is not going to get so upset. Because Shabbos and Yantiv, you know, a person is more besimcha, so you don't have as much to be concerned about that the guy's going to go stab himself. Maybe on a weekday, he's a little more depressed, so it's maybe a greater concern. Okay, but the bottom line is that we do have this svara in a number of different places. Now, going back to us, I realize I'm... Okay, let's make sure we get something done on the actual topic. Going back to us, this halacha of not having a weapon in a shul, is it a din that you're not allowed to have a weapon in a shul, or a din that you're not allowed to have a weapon b'shas tefila, big nafkamina, right? You're davening b'yichidus at home, let's say, or in a minyan at home, for that matter, right? You're not in a beis haknesses, or you're davening you're in a beis haknesses, but not for tefillah. You're in a beis haknesses for a shir. You're in a beis haknesses to help clean up or whatever for some other reason. Not for a tefillah. So if you look at the actual lashon of the Beis Yosef, it's you get both. You get conflicting impressions. You know, first he says you can't go into a beis haknesses with a sock in aruch. So it sounds like it's a din in beis haknesses. But then he says, why? Shat tefila ma'areches yam av shel adam. Not because beis haknesses, because tefila is ma'arech yam av shel adam. Tzitz Eliezer writes that they're both true. You're not allowed to go into a beis haknesses, and you're not allowed to daven with a sock in aruch. Ah, so good. So it's Hilchos Beis HaKnesses, right? So Pashtus is that it's a din Hilchos Beis HaKnesses, and Lechora that's the Pashtus of the Beis Yosef. And I wrote that at the bottom of page 4 that the placement of the halacha seems to be a raya that it's a din Hilchos Beis HaKnesses. Although I think somewhere in my sefer I quote Rav Asher Weiss, who says that you cannot be medayik from the placement of a halacha in Shulchan Aruch, that it's dafka in Rambam, yes, but not in Shulchan Aruch. That in Shulchan Aruch, the placement of the din doesn't always mean. Sometimes he says it's just based on the metzius, that this is where the din comes up, so he'll put it in this section of halacha, but it's not necessarily a right to what the yisod of the din is, to what the basis of the din is. In Rambam, it is. In Rambam, it is about what the foundation, what the geder of that din is. But moving along here, let's get to some of the heterim. So first of all, we quoted at the beginning, two different girsaos, whether giloy arosh or giloy. So that yesh matirim, if it's that yesh osrim only begiloy. So it's two deos, whether the Rabbeinu Peretz is makel if you cover the knife, right? And in which case the Mechaber doesn't pask in that way, but that there is this heter of Rabbeinu Peretz. La halacha, Mishnah Berurah quotes in the name of the Eliyahu Rabba, Ein lahachmir kiyim besakin magula. That the whole chumra is only if people could see the weapon. If the weapon is covered, no iser. That's what the Mishnah Berurah quotes. It's unclear why he holds that way. Shulchan Aruch doesn't say that. Shulchan Aruch doesn't have that girsa in Rabbeinu Peretz, but that's what he says. And it could be. Where else did we have this svara of mekatzer by marich? So we had by birchas hamazon. So what do we say? What's the eitz of birchas hamazon? You cover it, and that's good enough. You don't have to be mesalik the sakin. So mele, if it's the issue of the optics of it, that you're bringing something that's a mekatzer right into a place that's marich, so it's the optics of the mekatzer by the marich. So that l'chor is one heter. Another possible heter is, you know, the whole lashon was, don't bring a sakin aruch into a beis haknesses. Okay, what if it's a smaller knife? It's not a sakin aruch, it's a sakin kotzer. So the Taz says, why does he dafka say sakin aruch? By birchas hamazon, just has to cover the knives on the table. No chilek. So the Taz says, by birchas hamazon, it's very easy to cover the knives. Whereas by a beis haknesses, it's a tircha to get rid of all the knives. And therefore, we limit the chumrah only to a sakin aruch. So apparently, what you see from that Taz is that when it comes to this halacha, whenever it's a tircha yaseiru, we're making. Meaning he understands the whole din, the reason why it only applies to Sakan Aruch is because it's tircha yaseiru to take care of the little knives also. So l'chora, any time would be a tircha yaseiru. For example, where the poskim discusses is a chayal. Remember in Karen B'Yavna, we used to have this all the time. Any has a yeshiva, I would imagine. Talmidim come back to visit the yeshiva. They're in full uniform with their gun. So what are they supposed to do? Where are they going to leave their gun? They can get arrested and court-martialed if they leave their gun somewhere. So it's a big tircha to find a place, a safe place to leave their gun when they come in. So according to the Taz, l'chora, you have what to be mekel with. And in fact, that's what Rav Adi Yosef is mekel with in Yechavadas, Chelekei, Simin Yurches. As I mentioned before, Rav Adi Yosef is still writing tshuvas. They just came out with the 11th volume of Yabia Omer. I mean, he wrote them a long time ago, obviously, but they're still coming out with his tshuvas. A third possible discussion is, what about, is a gun different than a knife? Maybe, so on the one hand you would say, yeah, it's much worse because it's a killing instrument as opposed to a knife. You can cut an apple with a knife also. You know, a knife is an eating instrument as well. So on the one hand, maybe it's worse. On the other hand, even though a gun is the katzer yom of shaladam, maybe there's makom lahakel, because the Aruch HaShulchan writes in Hilchos Shabbos in Siman Shin Aleph that the gun of a chayal has a din of one of his malbushim. It has a din of clothing for the chayal, and it's not a chiyuv of Hatzalas Shabbos. It's not an iser of carrying on Shabbos if he carries his gun, because it's part of his malbushim. So says Rav Avadi Yosef, Shabbos. He says, I'm not convinced that it's not a violation of carrying on Shabbos. Aval b'din zeh sheikaru shani b'machlokas ve'inu davar muskam l'divrei kol nira sheish lahakel. But this din, which anyway is a machlokas, so you could probably be mekel. Ooh, Rav Adi says, because anyway this whole din is a machlokas. Remember how he started. Rav Adi was convinced that anyway this whole din is a machlokas. Since Eliezer said, what machlokas? There's no machlokas over here. It's two different rishonim talking about two different topics, but no machlokas. So again, it goes back to that issue of, do we or do we not have a machlokas? In the Tshuvas Torah Lishma, he writes that you're allowed to be mashchiz be-beis ha-knesses, you're allowed to sharpen the shechita knives in beis ha-knesses, because that's a tikkun gadol, and there's sod, a shemos ha-kodesh, at the time of checking the knives, and it's not therefore not a bizoy beis ha-knesses, beis ha-medrash, like shechita itself. So anything that would not be considered a bizoyon of the beis ha-knesses, maybe like teaching hilchos shechita or something like that, would not be a problem. Now again, it's important to realize that all of this is when there's no issue of sakana. If there's an issue of sakana, then all bets are off. If there's an issue of sakana, then of course you're allowed to do whatever it takes in order for to ensure people's safety. How do we determine the best way to ensure people's safety? You have to ask the experts who know about this. But anyway, even without that, l'chora, we have room to be mekel. Even if we don't judge it as a sakana, there's lots of room to be mekel over here, because the Mishnah Berurah is mekel beferish by a covered weapon, and you have the possibility that the whole din is shanui b'machlokas, that the whole din is machlokas, plus ravadius kula of something that it's maybe considered to be like a tachshit. Oh, that would only work really for a soldier, not for somebody else. Although some people are so into their guns, they think they're soldiers or something. But that lechora would only work for a real soldier. But it would seem that we allow it if the shul deems it necessary for security reasons to have a person with carrying a gun, not exposed, hidden. So that would seem that there's plenty to be make a lot when it comes to this issue. Okay, we didn't get to all the details, but we got to a bunch of them. Okay.